this together. Savior of the world, Lord of all, love eternal, unconditional, laying down your life, you gave it all for me. Yes, you did, Lord. Faithful is your name, Holy One, great in all your ways, your kingdom come, laying down your life, you gave it all for me. Let's thank Him for that. Your love is never changing, your word will last forever. I will bless the Lord all the time, His praise will be my song. From the top of my lungs,
from the top of my lungs,
secure, my future bright, shouting out the name Jesus. Lay it down your life, you gave it all for me. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord.
Your love is never changing, your word will last forever. Yeah. I will bless the Lord.
Feel His joy, we feel His strength. If you need strength this morning, I just want to encourage you to praise Him.
I put my hope in you, Jesus. I belong to you, Jesus.
And I will worship you, yes,
from the top of my lungs, from the top of my lungs.
I put my hope in you, Jesus. I belong to you, Jesus, and I will worship you from the top of my lungs,
from the top of my lungs.
I put my hope in you, Jesus. I belong to you, Jesus, and I will worship you from the top of my lungs. See, now one more time, I put my hope, I put my hope in you, Jesus, and I belong to you, Jesus. Worship you from the top of my
lungs. Your love is never changing. Your word will last forever.
I will bless the Lord all the time. His praise will be my song. From the top of my lungs.
From the top of my lungs.
Oh. He's the hope of glory. We have this hope because Jesus is alive. Amen.
Risen, He's risen, forever glorified.
Yes, He is.
Risen, He's risen, King Jesus.
It's conquered by the King. Yeah.
Resurrected one.
Oh, he's
shining like the sun. Breaking through the fear. Victory is here. Victory is here.
Jesus be lifted high.
That's right.
We serve a risen Savior.
Risen. He's risen forever.
Yes, he is.
Hey. Oh, risen. He's risen. King Jesus.
King Jesus.
Oh, Jesus is alive.
Oh, oh, hallelujah. Oh, oh, hallelujah.
Breaking through the fear. Victory is here. Victory is here.
Oh, oh,
hallelujah.
Oh, oh,
hallelujah.
Jesus be lifted higher. We serve a risen Savior.
Risen. He's risen.
Oh, he's alive today.
The same power, the same power that crushed the enemy.
The same power, the same power, the same power.
Yeah. Oh, declare that today.
The same power, the same power that crushed the enemy.
The same power,
the same power, the same power, the same power.
Let's just begin to lift our hands right now. Jesus, we just love you and we worship you in this place. We pray that you touch every heart, every life represented in this room this morning. Praise you, Jesus. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior. Many different situations in the house today, but we know that Jesus is here and he wants to become involved in your situation. If you feel confused, he's your peace. If you feel hopeless, he's your hope. If you need a healing, he's the great physician. If you have a broken heart, he's the comforter. He's the light in the darkness. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, 'cause you're worthy. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. That's what we've come to do this morning. Let's declare this together.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Yes, you are.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you, I
worship you.
You are here, turning lives around. I worship you.
I worship you, Lord. You are here, bending every heart.
I worship you. I worship you.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who.
Never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. Never stop working. Never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. Never stop.
You're a good God.
I'm grateful that when we're tired and that when we don't feel like we can move on, that we don't feel like we can get through, that we serve a God that never tires, never gets weary, and He's constantly working on our behalf. We have a God that is the way maker. And I know there's some people in here this morning that have experienced our God as the way maker. If you've experienced God help you get through something that you know you could have not gotten through without Him, why don't you put a hand up to heaven and just begin to worship Him a little longer this morning. Father, we worship You. Come on now, worship Him with your words, because He is the way maker. Father, I acknowledge there are situations and circumstances that if it had not been for You, I would have not gotten through. And so God, we're grateful this morning that, Lord, You don't see through us, but Lord God, You see us through every situation. So Lord, I lift up anybody in this place this morning that maybe they're going through something. Maybe they're experiencing something that they know is too much for them to handle. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, as Your word says, Your word tells us You'll never leave us or forsake us. You're a very present help in time of need. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, bring peace to that situation. Bring hope to that situation. Bring strength to that situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you believe He's the way maker, why don't you give about two or three people a high five and tell somebody He is a way maker this morning. Amen. And then you may have a seat. Amen. God is a good God, isn't He? He's a good God. We serve a great God here this morning. And it's wonderful to see all of you smiling people here on a rainy October morning. And anybody that's here, if you're here for the first time or you've been here for only a couple times, you are our guest. And as our guest, we'd just like to connect with you. And so in the seat back in front of you, there's a rack. And inside of that rack is a thing called a contact card. If you'd please just take that out, fill it out, and when the offering comes by, place it in the offering. That would be wonderful. And so we're just grateful, all church family. Let's greet our guests here today. Yes. And so we do have a lot of things going on here at the church. And we're really relevant, and we have our technology that we can read from. But starting October 15th, and it goes also on the 22nd, we have a We Help You Win campaign going on. And so there's going to be a two-week series called We Help You Win, hence the t-shirt, We Help You Win. These shirts are available outside of the at the Welcome Center for you to pick up. So again, join us October 15th and 22nd at 10:30 a.m., as we begin this two-week series focused on God's plan for the church and for you. Who would like to know God's plan for the church? Awesome. Who would like to know God's plan for you? In many ways, they're synonymous. What God has planned for you has an effect on the church. And so we have brand new t-shirts that are available for you to wear next, starting next week. Okay, so if you pick them up, next week. And then somebody say senior adult. Oh, you didn't say it like you love them. Somebody say senior adult. Now, I know some of, because that starts at age 55, if I'm not mistaken. And so, and I know some people, they don't feel like they're a senior adult. But if you're 55 and older, you qualify as a senior adult, Randy Margraf, not to throw out any names. Nobody would have guessed that. He's 29. But the senior adults, and I want to read this so I don't get it wrong, but they're annual fall foliage trip, which is a much better term than leaf peeping. It's just way more comfortable to say annual fall foliage trip. It's this Tuesday, October 10th. The bus will be leaving, listen, at 9 a.m. sharp. So don't be late. If you get here at 9:10 and there's no bus, it probably left without you. So show up at 9 a.m. sharp. And if you have any, there's a sign-up sheet at the information desk. So if you're interested in that and you are 55 and above, please sign up for that and have a great time with our senior adults who are some of our best citizens of our church. Can somebody say amen? And one more thing just before the ushers make their way down. In fact, the ushers, if you'd like, you can make your way down now. October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And we are very fortunate to have the most incredible pastors in Pastor Matt Ward and Darcy Ward that this country could ever offer. So we are grateful for them. So starting today through the month of October, there is going to be a basket at the information desk. So please feel free to show your appreciation to them. Because seriously, I know probably every church in the month of October talks about how great their pastors are. Well, maybe there's a few that don't talk about that. But some churches, you know, they got to go with what they've got. You know, so, sometimes you have to speak to that which is not as though it is. Right? Well, we don't have to do that. We really do have the greatest pastors in Pastor Matt and Darcy that we could ever ask for. And so we're grateful to them. And as a church staff, we're grateful to them. And I know as a congregation, we're so grateful for them. And just the word that they bring every single week, the encouragement that they bring. You know, we know that we have pastors that show up prayed up. Never once do we have to wonder, did they really pray this week? Because they didn't preach like they prayed that week. We don't have to worry about that because we have a pastor duo that really knows how to pray and seek the Lord and are absolutely filled with the Holy Spirit. And they trust in the Holy Spirit. They don't trust in their gifts. They trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's something to be grateful for. And with that, I really don't have to do much when it comes to offering. We have a giving church. Our church is the most giving church I belong to. So happens to be the only church I belong to. But I would not want to belong to any other church. And I know that when I give my money, it's sowing seeds into the kingdom of God. And so I'd never hesitate at all. And there are many ways to give, and they may in a moment have the different ways that we give here. I give electronically every single week. And if I happen to have cash in my pocket like I do today, I give the cash that's in my pocket as well. But I do know that God blesses a cheerful giver. So Father, we thank you today for your people. We thank you for your church. We thank you for your people as we get together, Lord, and be encouraged together and build each other up. And we're grateful that we can give into a mission and a vision, Lord God, that's going forth and building the kingdom and reaching lives and touching lives. And we thank you for it, Lord. So take everything that you receive today and bless the givers in Jesus' name. Everybody shouted, amen.
Peace of God, cover me, cover me, cover me. Peace of God, cover me through the storm, cover me. Only in you I am safe. Only in you I'm secure. Only in you I find peace.
Hallelujah.
So cover me. Cover me.
Cover me when I'm hurting. Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I'm going through the storm. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand.
Hallelujah. How many here would say that you have a situation in your life that you need God's covering? We all have our hands raised, and the Lord is able to meet and cover. He's able to meet and cover every need. Sometimes as people, we have to look past our need to somebody else's. You know what I mean? Sometimes we have to realize that we're hurting, but there may be someone who's hurting even more. And we need to be there for them. And today, there's a family in our church that's really, really hurting. They're not here today, understandably. But last Thursday, Paul and Brandy Fisk put their little beautiful boy, Harrison, to sleep for his nap. And that one-year-old child never woke up. And it's crushing. It's crushing. There's no amount of scripture verses or wisdom that can make that pain go away. Only thing that can help them is the peace of God. You know them, they sit in the front. Him and his brother are two really tall guys. When they come up here with Pastor Ward, it's hilarious because Pastor's so much shorter than them. And they love this church. I went and saw them yesterday. And talked about how their other son Liam loves the Sunday school, and they love this church. They drive 40 minutes both ways to come because they love this church, and right now they need this church. You know, it's the Lord, the Bible says to mourn with those who mourn, and that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he's close today. We're gonna pray for him, we're gonna pray for them, we're gonna pray for this family. And as I was sitting and talking with him, he told me through unbelievable tears that at least he's just happy he gets to see him again someday. And isn't that the hope we have today? This world is not the end. But it feels like it is sometimes. The Lord's going to help with that. And we're going to help with that. And at the end of the service today, the church family, we're going to take up another offering. Because we think we should help or either fully pay for every expense they have. The last thing that family needs to figure out is how to pay for what they have to go through. So at the end of this message,
I want you to be generous. Reach out to the hurting tangibly today. And we'll talk about it when we go. But pray for them. So I want everyone to stand to your feet today. Just grab the hand of someone next to you. I know we don't normally do that. It's kumbaya-ish, but that's okay. I just really feel like we need to be a community today. Someone's hurting. And we're all hurting with other things, but I believe it's okay if we put our faith and our prayers their direction to Lincoln and believe that God's going to touch that family. So, Father, we thank you today for the mercy of heaven. We thank you, Jesus, that this world is not the end. That, Lord, one day we're all going to close the book on our lives and we're going to open our eyes to the streets of gold and eternity, that where there is no pain, there is no sorrow. There is just joy, unspeakable joy. But God, we lift up Paul and Brandy Fisk and their entire family. Selena, their daughter, and Liam, their son. As they try to put pieces together, I pray, God, that you will just begin to pour out a peace that doesn't make sense. Lord, we don't have to try to make sense of any of this because it's senseless. There is no sense to this. But there is grace and peace in the name of Jesus. And we speak that over their lives today. We speak that over their hearts today. We speak that over this situation today. And we just pray, God, that you will be there. That you will be there to pick up every piece, Lord, and carry them through. That you'll cover them. That you'll cover them, Jesus. As only you can. And we pray, Lord, that you'll cover this church. As one of us hurts, the Bible says that when one part of the body is sick, the whole body feels it. One part of this body is grieving, and we all feel it today. But we believe, Lord, greater days are ahead. We believe, Jesus, that peace is coming, and your hand is with them. Be with them today, in Jesus' name. Everyone say amen. I want you to lift your hands as Heather sings that chorus again. Cover me. And let's just worship for a minute.
Peace of God, cover me. Cover me. Cover me. Peace of God, cover me. Through the storm, cover me. Passes all I understand. Cover me.
Hallelujah. Well, I got a word from the Lord for us today. I got something that the Lord's going to speak to us and bless us with. It's called Fix Your Eyes. I believe we need to fix our eyes on something that doesn't move. If there's one thing we know, the world is in constant motion. And I don't mean from gravity and the spinning. I mean the cultural norms and the morals and ethics of this world, what's right and what's wrong, is constantly moving. And we need to fix our eyes on something that's stable. And that's how we find victory. And we're going to talk about that today. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to turn there, it's going to be on the screen. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and verses 2. The Bible says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Other translations finish that by saying the author and finisher of our faith. We need to fix our eyes on the one who began it and the one who's going to end it. The one who begins the thing in our life and the one who's there at the very ending when we step into eternity. And he's the one that we look to. He's the one that we turn to. So Father, I pray you'll bless this message. May we all experience and hear what you have to say in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Thanks, guys. I love this scripture in Hebrews chapter 12 because it shares with us that we're not alone. We're not alone in the struggle. We're not alone. I mean, obviously, we're not alone. Look at us. We're in a church right now. There's like 600 people here. We know we're not alone in this. But even beyond that, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who's been there before. Hebrews chapter 11, the whole chapter talks about these great men and women of faith who did things that very few people have ever done. By faith, they lived lives that were strange, especially back in the Old Testament. Very few people stood up and did the things that these people did in Hebrews chapter 11. And they're named for it. By faith, they killed giants. By faith, they broke enemies. By faith, they built an ark. And by faith, all of these great people, even though they didn't get to experience faith like you and I can because of Jesus, they lived by faith. And now today, it says right afterwards, we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses. And so it tells me that the great champions of our faith are cheering us on, but they are not the object of our focus. They may be cheering us on and they may be there in our corner and they may be seeing what's going on in our world today and saying, go for it, step in faith, but they are not the object of our faith. They're not the object of your faith. Pastor Vinny was dead on with Pastor Wart. He is a man that most of us would follow anywhere because we know the Holy Ghost is with him. And he's a pastor that is probably the greatest pastor that I'll ever know. But he's not the object of our faith. He's not the focus. We're not to fix our eyes on Pastor Ward because he's not the author or finisher of our faith at all. Our eyes and our heart needs to be fixed on something different. We need to fix our eyes on something stable. And so our call as believers is to be properly prepared for the race that is set out for us. Back in the day, in the 40s and 50s, I saw these old clips of like Olympics, and I think I saw Malcolm Dunphy running in one of them, but it's okay. There he is. He was first place in the joke telling. But I saw the 100-meter dash, and they were scrawny, and they had shorts that were flapping in the wind, and that's how they ran the 100-meter dash. And then fast forward to today, and you see Usain Bolt run the 100-meter dash, and he's not scrawny. His thighs are about as thick as that monitor, and he can run about 600 miles an hour, and his clothes are tight form-fitting to get rid of like the air resistance so he can go faster. So this is kind of a picture of what we need to do in our walk with the Lord as we fix our eyes on Christ, is we need to strip off the things that hold us back. We need to strip off the things that are keeping us from our best. To strip off the things that drag us back when we need to be moving forward. And as believers, that's our call, to be prepared to strip off the unnecessary and inhibiting devices of sin. The sin that entangles us, the sin that promises good things but pays off with negative things. That promises hope but pays off with sorrow. And we need to be willing and ready to fix our eyes on the idea of Jesus, on the person of Jesus, on the man of Jesus, everything that he stands for, to fix our eyes on that and just get rid of everything else, because that's how we're going to win. That's how we're going to come out of this on top. So we can run this race without fainting. Everybody say, no fainting. No fainting. No fainting. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their own strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. We stay focused and amped up for what God has called us to do by fixing our eyes on the Lord. I remember I remember when Heather and I were first married, we had to go to a wedding in Montreal way back in 2004 or 5 or somewhere around there. And the quickest way to get to Montreal was through the back roads of Maine. And it takes you on quite the wild goose chase when you go on it. And if we didn't have a guide showing us where to go and how to get there, we'd still be stuck there living in a shanty home eating bark. Because there would be no chance we could get out of it. I mean, you turn and everything looks the same. When I first moved here, when Heather and I were first married, she brought me here to the house and we were visiting and we went through 3 intersections and they were the exact same one. Like, for real, they were. They weren't, but for all intents and purposes, they were the same thing. Crazy. But we had this little thing that was kind of new and fresh back in 2004 called a GPS. And you punch in this magical number where you want to go in Montreal, and it says calculating in a real British voice because British people are smarter and they know where they're going. I don't know, calculating. And then after about a few seconds, it says proceed to the highlighted route. And then we went, and it would just tell us where to go. Let me tell you something, every twist and every turn on that GPS, it was frightening because we went down these paths that didn't look like anybody lived there, didn't look like they go. We went on a dirt road going to a city of 3 million people. Didn't make sense to me. We're going to a civilization where there's 3 million people and we're on a dirt road. This is weird. But as long as we kept our eyes focused on that prize, doesn't matter how twisty and turny the road gets, we know where we're going. And if we took a wrong turn, guess what it said? Recalculating. And that's what it is when we fix our eyes on the Lord, is that we may go left and right. We may go up and down. We may take these crazy big winding turns, and it may not seem right. But if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, it doesn't matter how far off course we get. He recalculates it, and we keep going. We keep going. Focus. Every race, no matter how long the race is, whether it's 100 meters, whether it's 400, whether it's what are those long ones called? Marathons. You can tell how many of those I've done in my life. Yes. Yes. I can rock in a chair for, 26 miles, but that's about it. No matter how long a race is, if the runners had no idea where they were going, they would give up. They would be running and running and running, and they would say, this is never going to end, this is never going to end, and they eventually would quit, not knowing that this finish line might be right in front of them. But every runner and every race that people go on, they know where they're going. You cannot walk this walk without a beacon. You can't walk this walk without something leading you and guiding you and directing you. And that something has to be Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Today, this world system, more than ever, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, because it's not just about us. It's about our family. It's about our children. It's about our friends. It's about our parents. It's about everybody we know, and showing them that there is something better to strive for. One of the most gut-wrenching passages of Scripture for me, it may not seem all that gut-wrenching when I read it, but it's found in Judges chapter 2. And this is why we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. It says this, chapter 2, verse 6 through 10. When Joshua dismissed the people of Israel, each went to his inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days that the elders outlived Joshua. And they all had seen all the great work that the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him within the boundaries of inheritance in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gash. And here it is. And all the generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them that did not know the Lord, and all the work that they had done for Israel. There arose a generation after Joshua that didn't know the Lord. Could it be that their eyes were fixed on a man? Could it be that their eyes were fixed on a system? Could it be that their eyes were fixed on something other than the God that actually brought them out? You see, we need to be careful as believers right now to keep our eyes fixed on what God has called us to do, to have our eyes fixed on that beacon of light called Jesus Christ, because we need to make sure that no matter what happens in this world, we're not going to fall. We're not going to fail. We're not going to crumble. We're not going to lose faith. We're not going to lose hope, because God is stable. As a matter of fact, I want to give you three reasons why we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. And the first one is he's stable. Stability. Everybody say stability. We need a stable source of life in an unstable world. Anything that can be shaken will be shaken, except for my God. Hallelujah. He will not be shaken. He will not be moved. And that's why he is our source. He is our strength. He is that beacon. He is that one saying, recalculating. He's the one leading my steps and guiding our steps to everywhere we need to go. And if we keep our eyes on him, we will make it. It's not always fun. We know that from personal and experience, even right today, that there's garbage in this world that hurts us, but God will never, ever, ever forsake us. So we need to stop forsaking him. We need to stop forsaking him. The Bible says he's stable. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13. Our world is busier and crazier than ever, and there's so much vying for your attention. Now, I speak to teenagers a lot, and so it's a lot. So, you know, they don't know. It's pretty bad for them. And there's so much vying for their attention, so much trying to get them to do and pushing them, prodding them wherever they want to go. So many vices. But the reality is, it's just as bad for adults. It's just as bad for adults. You know, I tell teenagers it's different for them now in school than it was when I was in school. And when you guys were in school, because when you're in school, just say there was a bully in school or someone who's a real jerk to you in school. Let's just say what it is, you know, a moros. Greek word for moron, you know. They were one of those. And every day you went to school and he was picking on you and calling you names and making your life miserable. Well, when you got on the bus or you walked home, when you shut your door to your house, you were in your sanctuary. You were separated from that bully, from that idiot, from that moros. And you got to enjoy your time with your family. You got to enjoy all the stuff. Nothing was really pulling you, except for maybe the battles you were fighting in your head, which were real. But today, when a kid goes home from school after getting mercilessly bullied, they go home and their phone beeps and their internet beeps and their Facebook beeps and their Snapchat beeps, and they take their pain everywhere they go. There's no stability in our world for people. There's no place for anybody to hang their hat and say, I'm at peace today. Which is why we as the church need to fix our eyes on something stable to show the world that there is something. And listen, you might be struggling right now, trying to figure out where you fit, what's going on in your life today. And I'm here to tell you, we turn our eyes on, fix our eyes on Jesus, things begin to change. Life can be sobering, frustrating, and even terrifying. And many people struggle to find purpose in their life and their path. And the simple realities of life have become more and more confusing. And more people take their eyes off the stable God, substituting it for something that just flashes light, something that gives them something to hold on to. Now, we need not substitute what God is doing in our life for something else anymore. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Without a vision, without something to take our attention, to take our heart, some guide to take us where we need to go, a reason to exist, people just do whatever feels right. And that's where we find ourselves in 21st century 2017 America. Whatever feels right, do it. It's not a new philosophy, it's a very old philosophy that has made its way back into the modern world. Whatever feels right, do it. And that's the world we live in. And that's what causes us grief. That's what causes us pain. That's what causes us frustration. And the Lord would simply say, fix your eyes on me. I haven't changed. You have gone through ups and downs, lefts and rights, and it's been miserable. But the Lord says, I haven't changed and I never will. I never, ever will. Everybody say, he's not changing. We need to fix our eyes on a beacon, a North Star for our life, our future, and our hope. For the longest time, I've heard of the North Star. How many of you have ever heard of the North Star? I didn't realize it was like the end of the ladle of the Little Dipper. Or for those of you who are more like nerdy. It's Ursa Major, which is the Little Dipper, and Ursa Minor, and then Ursa Major is the Big Dipper. And so I said, I want to know where this North Star is. And so I looked online, and it said the two little sections of the Big Dipper right here. And you got the thing here, and you got this thing here, and you got this. The ladle. I'm going to eat soup with it. So the ladle, and then you got the bottom of the Big Dipper, and these two on the end, you kind of follow it up, and then there's a star in the sky. And I looked at it, and I said, oh, and there it is. And I found that that's the end of the Little Dipper. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. And the next night, guess what? It was there. Same spot. And the next night, it was in the same spot. And the next night, it was in the same spot. And a year from now, it'll be in the same spot. And 3 months from now, it'll be in the same spot, because that never changes. Do you want to see what our world looks like now? It's that. I don't know how. Can you turn these lights down for just 1 second? Because it's like really, really like light pollution up there. Just fast. Whew, right down. Kelsey will love that. You see this? This is our world. All of these things spinning out of control. Culture, fads, options, opportunities, jobs, friends, enemies, all this stuff going around in a cycle over and over and over again, saying, look at me, look at me, look, I can help you today, I can help you tomorrow, I can help you wherever thing is going wrong, I can help you, I can help you. But dead center in the middle, unchanging, the North Star. You see, we can get caught in the peripheral of life. We can get caught fixing our eyes on the beauty and the glory of our world. But the beauty and the glory of our world changes with every generation. You can turn the lights back on. The beauty and the glory of our world, what's beautiful and glorious today could be totally ugly and repulsive tomorrow. But that's where we find ourselves, living on the peripheral, living in the spin, living in the seduction of sin, the seduction of the universe, when meanwhile, in the very middle, in the very center, there's something that will not be moved. And that's where we need to live. While the world around you is spinning wildly out of control, people will reach out to grab you because you are connected to something that doesn't move. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus because he is stable. And we need him to be stable in this unstable world. Everybody say stable. Stable. Number two, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus because he gives us strength. He gives us strength. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary, you may not grow faint-hearted. Jesus laid down his life for us. Amen? He laid down his life for you and me. He put it aside and he endured incredible hostility and pain from sinful people so that you and I could live a life where we don't faint and we don't grow wearisome and we don't grow faint-hearted. That's strength. That is what God does. God gives his people strength to get through any situation that comes our way. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's kind of a much debated scripture, but it starts off with Paul saying, there came to me a messenger of Satan who was there to buffet me. And three times I prayed that the Lord would remove it. The Bible says right here, it says three times in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And this has been a debated scripture because the focus has always been on what was the thing. I think Paul left it quite vague on purpose because that's never been the focus of the scripture. But it becomes the focus of our scripture because we want to be right. We want to be right in our doctrines, in our theology. We want to be right and we want everybody else to be wrong. And when people come and tell us that we're wrong, we want to prove them that. So we want to know, what is this? Is it a physical ailment? Is it a spiritual ailment? Is it a person? What is it? What is the messenger of Satan that's buffeting Paul? And God says, you're missing the point. God says, that's not why it's in there. And that's not why it's in there. I'll tell you right now, it's not why it's in there. We're not meant to find out what that is. Some people say it was Paul's eyesight. Some people say it was an actual person that came and would always buffet him, and you know, he prayed that the Lord would take him away and he wouldn't. There's just a lot of different talk about it. But it's not about the person. It's not about the spirit from Satan. It's about this. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. The point is that God makes our weaknesses his strength. The point is that where you're at your weakest, God is at his best. The point is that we don't have to dwell in our weaknesses, and our weaknesses don't have to overcome us, because his strength is perfect. Because where you struggle, he doesn't. Where you are in trouble, he's not. Where you can't get over it, he already has gotten over it. Jesus said, take heart, because you know what? You're going to face tribulation in this world, John chapter 16. But he said, take be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Everything that we struggle with on this planet has already been defeated by the power of God. And when we fix our eyes on him, that strength comes into our life. And though we struggle and though we are weak, we become strong in the Lord. Weakness. What is our weaknesses? Where do we struggle? Are we anxious? We know the Bible says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, make your requests made known to God, and the peace of God passes understanding will guide your heart, soul, and mind. Is it anxiety? I know it's a real thing. Last time I preached, I told you about my whole situation in the hospital where I thought I was dying myself. I know what anxiety feels like, but you know what? In those anxious moments when we fix our eyes on that one spot in our world that hasn't moved, we find strength in our anxious moments. We go back to the North Star picture, would you? Ain't you gonna? There it is. In our anxious moments, our flesh wants us to focus on the spin. In our anxious moments, our flesh wants us to look at the spin, but God wants us to look at the center. God wants us to look at the place that hasn't moved, that hasn't changed, that is still bigger and still stronger. What is our weaknesses? We're afraid. We're afraid to share our faith. We're afraid to share our faith because we focus on the spin. We focus on the what ifs. What if they say this? What if they say that? What if they won't believe me? What if I don't know the answer to the question? What if, what if, what if, what if? And God says, I haven't moved. I'm the one who saves people, not you. You just tell them about me. It's not up to you anyway. It's up to God. And that makes us strong, because we don't need all the answers. We just need to keep our eyes fixed on the one who has all the answers. Your life can be so much simpler if we'll just keep our eyes on the center. What's your weakness? Is it alcohol? Are we drinking too much? I personally believe drinking at all is too much. It's a quiet church. Just saying that. We won't go deep into that, but alcohol does kill people. Alcohol does destroy families. I'll tell you this, a little bit of meddling. My children will never, ever, 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 ever be able to sneak alcohol in my house because there's none. They'll never be able to go to the liquor cabinet or the wine cellar and get anything and get drunk because there's none. And that there is enough for me to say, don't ever touch the stuff. But for those of you who do, and you're bound to it, that doesn't have to be the thing that destroys you any longer. Because your weakness, which could be alcohol, God can come into your life and you focus. You see, we focus on all the reasons why we should. And then it starts to destroy us. Meanwhile, we need to focus on what God can do in us. And he has the ability to help you empty every one of those bottles and never buy another one. I know that's kind of a difficult situation right now, difficult statement right now about alcohol, but I'm telling you something. When you give God your weakest moments and you allow him to invade you with his strength, none of those weaknesses have the power to steal your life, to steal one more moment of your life, whether it's smoking or sexual perversion or depression or any of the stuff that you cannot seem to get over. We need to stop focusing on what's surrounding us and stop focusing on what hasn't moved. What hasn't moved? Everybody say he's strong. I'm going to ask the band to come on up. The last thing I want to talk to you about is kind of my favorite. When, I don't know, who here has ever preached before somewhere? You just preached. Put your hand up. You preached before. All right, look at you preachers all over the place. You know when you have a message and there's one point you're just dying to get to, but you have to go through the other ones? Well, I'm about to get to the point that I've been dying to get to. I'm excited about this one. All the other stuff is good. All the other stuff is life-changing. I mean, come on. It's good stuff. It's great stuff. But this one here, I am so excited about it. Because I look at every one of you and I see stories. I see stories from the beginning to the very end. I see that God has put inside every one of you a story that needs to be told. And a lot of us don't think we have a good story. A lot of us think our story is not worth the paper it would be penned on. Some of us think that our story isn't as good as somebody else's who has a more interesting story. When I was in Bible college, they did a magazine came and did interviews of Bible school students. And I was one of them. And a friend of mine, I don't even know his name. So this other dude, they did an interview on him. And my story was, I started going to church when I was about 9 months before I was born. And I haven't stopped. I didn't get into drugs. I didn't get into alcohol. I didn't turn away from the Lord. I struggled a little bit when I was an early teenager. But then at 14 years old, I started writing a prayer journal. I started leading worship. And the Lord has been faithful. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm the spoiled child that God has because he's done so many good things for me. And I feel like I don't do enough for him. And God has just been so good. And here I am in Bible college getting ready to move on. I've never had any problems in my life. At that point, I everything was great. It was amazing, you know. And the other guy's story was, he was a deep, dark drug addict and all this stuff, and he went to Teen Challenge and he was about to die, and then God saved him. And you know, guess whose article they published? It was his article. They published his article. And I struggled with that because I'm like, does my story not count? Is my story not a good enough story for the people of God to hear? Some of you may look at your story because it's boring like mine and think, I don't have nothing to offer. It's a lie. You have a story of faithfulness. You have a story of holiness. You have a story of majestic power of God leading you through things where other people failed. And other people here have stories where you're struggling right now with your belief in God. Is God real? You came maybe into this church today thinking a last-ditch effort to see your life turn around, and I'm here to tell you your story is far from being done. Others, you have the exciting story of crazy sin and the crazy redemption. What makes us so spectacular is that every one of us has a different story written by the same hand. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I love this part. Story. God made the world, right? We all can agree on that, most of us anyway. We agree that Jesus was there. God spoke the world into existence. Let there be light. Or as Charlton Heston would say, let there be light. I often picture God's voice as Charlton Heston or Morgan Freeman, one or the other. And I hear tell that's coming over there. That's a bad impression. I'm sorry. I'm moving on from that. He spoke the world into existence and created. He wrote the genetic code of trees and water. And I mean, we can paint pictures and we can invent things, but God invented mountains and dirt. God invented dirt. Everybody uses dirt. He invents stuff that's worth something. Sometimes we invent stuff that's not worth anything. Like, you know, I don't know. I got nothing on that one. So I'm just kind of going off here. Let me get back to where I'm going here. He made everything. But he didn't just make the world. He created and wrote you. I want everybody to listen to me very closely. You. Make this personal. Put your hand on your chest and say, me. Me. You may not think that you were valuable. You may not think that you're, you may think God has forgotten about you. You may think it's too tough. No, God is still writing your story. There's an old song theologically powerful song that Heather used to sing when she was 5. I saw a video of it because I was only 2 at the time and Canadian. I saw a video of her pigtails going down like this with big thick glasses. Not that thing. And she was sitting there like this. Some of you older folks who saw it know what I'm talking about. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Oh no, she did it. I'm really dizzy right now. That's awful. I don't know how she did that. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How lovely and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. He finished creation, but he's still working on us. He wrote the full story of creation, but he's still writing the story of your life. He knows how it's going to end. He knows how your story is going to end. Nobody anywhere at any time knows what you are capable of and what you can accomplish in this life like Jesus Christ does. You may think you have reached the pinnacle of what you can do, and I tell you the devil is a liar, because there is more for you. There is more for you. Everybody say more. People can love you, people can study you, and they can get to know the inside, you inside and out. They can know everything there is to know about you, but nobody knows you like Jesus. Nobody knows what you are capable of like Jesus, because he's the author of your existence from before earth was made until eternity comes and we walk the streets together. You see, he's the author of your life. Everybody say author. He's the author of your life. Now, there's a difference between an author and an expert. Experts will have us. We believe we're experts of our own life. We know where we are. We know how good we can be. We know our past. We know our pain. We know what we struggle with. We know where we can't fit. We know because we're experts. But nobody knows a book like the author knows the book. Experts could tear apart a book, come up with all kinds of ideas what the author was thinking, but the author can say, nope. Can tear you up and say, you know, you have a bad education, bad family, bad life, bad habits, you're going nowhere. And the author can look at you and say, nope. That's not in his story. That's not in the next pages. That's not what it says in the back of his book. The back of her book says he is blessed and highly favored, and he's changed the world for the kingdom of God. Because nobody knows you like the author. Praise God. There are fictional works and all kinds of works, books, and literature. And I'm not a reader very much, but I am a geek and a nerd. So I like sci-fi weird things, and I'm sorry about that, but that's just me. And so one of my favorite books that I've read that was fictional was The Lord of the Rings. You know, precious, yes, you know. I'm sorry about that. I just couldn't help myself. I got problems. I got problems sometimes. And throughout the years, people have tore J.R.R. Tolkien's work apart. He invented 5 languages that you can speak that have syntax, grammar. I mean, he was a genius. And he put all these things together. And for years, for decades, people have tore it apart to tell everybody what Tolkien was saying. And they've come up with some really good stuff. But nobody knows what he was really writing about except him. Because he's the author of the work. And when the author says something and somebody who has studied the author says something different, guess who I'm going to believe? I'm going to believe what the author has to say. And so when the author of your life says that you are going to win, that you are going to be blessed, that you are going to overcome, I'm going to believe what the author says, not what the expert says. I'm not going to believe even what you say about yourself, because I know the one who wrote you, and he has bigger things in store for your life than even what you have in store for your life. Praise God. Praise God. Your book can be torn apart from yourself, from experts, from family, friends. You're not smart enough. You're not from the right family. You were brought up in a broken home. Your father was an alcoholic. Your mother was abused. You were abused. You don't have the right education. You didn't get good grades. You didn't go to the right classes. This is you. And that sets boundaries for as far as you can go. Because experts say this is as far as you can go. This is your ceiling. Get used to working at the gas station because that's as good as it gets for you because of your life. Get used to struggling to make ends meet because you'll never be able to get a job that's better because this is as good as it gets for you. And then the Lord shows up. And he lifts your head because you don't feel good about yourself. And he takes out of his long lines of billions of books and he finds your name, he pulls it down. And you tell him why you can't do it. You tell him why you're struggling. You tell him why you can't serve God the way you should. You tell him why you can't live the way you should. You tell him why you can't be who you should be. And you try to give him excuses, excuses, excuses as to why you're stuck in the rut. And the Lord takes the book, opens to the last page, and he says, that's not what I have written down. He looks at the back of the book and he says, this isn't where I have you ending up. He goes to the middle. And he says, I see where you're struggling. I see where things aren't right. I see where things are tough. I see where things don't make sense. I see where things don't add up in your life and it's struggling for you and it's hurting your faith. But just a few pages over, I see a breakthrough. I see hope restored. I see strength restored. I see vision restored. I see love restored. I see purpose restored. What happened in those two pages? We fixed our eyes on Jesus. We fixed our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith and of my faith. Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands right now and thank the Lord for that? Jesus, when he speaks, it takes a message that I've spoken for like 30 minutes and it brings it down to just a 5-minute statement that your story is worth writing. Your story is not finished and it's not written by anybody but him today. Come on, let's praise him for that. Let's thank him that what's ahead is not what's behind. What's ahead is better than what's behind. And we've got something spectacular coming. Our story is worth sharing. Our story is worth living. Our story is worth chasing down. Hallelujah. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet and praise the Lord a little bit in this house today. And just thank him for writing our story. Thank him for writing that story. Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you for my story. Thank you for who I am. That my life is different. That my life is yours in your hands, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, praise God. So you might have come in here today wondering what all this was about in your life, why you're struggling and why things are tough, and can church even help you? And I'm here to tell you that if we fix our eyes on Jesus, we're fixing our eyes on the one who knows what your end is supposed to be. He has already seen you at your finest. And he's going to help you get there. See, Jesus Christ paid a terrible price for us. He died on a cross and was brutally beaten and died on a cross because the sin entered humanity and separated us from God. Sin demanded death. We could no longer go to heaven. But Jesus died for us. Doesn't that just, that blows me away after 30 some odd years, 35, I know exactly how old I am. 35 years of life, it blows my mind that Jesus would do that for me. He did it for you. The Bible says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we'll be saved, ready for heaven, and our story will never be the same again. And I'm going to ask if there's anybody here today with heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's anybody here today that your story that is written about you does not include God in it yet. Does not include you giving your heart to Jesus and saying, Lord, come into my life. I want to serve you. I want to be with you for eternity. That's not there yet. I'm here to tell you today is a good day to write it in. Today's a good day for you to fix your eyes on Jesus. Maybe for the very first time in your life. To say, God, I want to give you my life and I want to start over. And I'll tell you, he will lead you down paths and lead you down a life that you never thought you could. But it all starts with you making a decision to say, Jesus, I want to serve you and I want to follow you. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor Paul, I want to give my life to Christ and start this new chapter in my life? I want you to raise your hand. Is there anybody at all? Just go ahead and raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to give my life to Christ today. I want to start over right now. Is there anybody at all? Praise God. Jesus. Praise God. Just a few more moments. Anybody in the balcony? Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to do the altar a little differently today because we want to end off a little differently, but I just want us to make some statements of faith in our seats. I mean, we're not going to like the repeating thing or anything like that, but I know from experience, I am 35. That's older than some, much younger than others. I'm sorry. I can't help myself. I know from experience that life comes at you hard and it sometimes you mess up. And there are times when you lose this, right? How many would say, I've lost that before? Just raise your hand up real high. I've lost that before. Okay, there's hands up all over the place. We've all lost this before. We've all know what it feels like to be wandering and trying to find where we fit. And I'm here today to tell you that that doesn't have to be your future, your life, that from this moment forward, we can keep our eyes fixed on Jesus through thick and thin. And we just want to pray together as a body of believers, because that is what's going to help us as we walk out this door. Because when you come down, can you come down here and we pray for you? We're going to do that tonight. I'm sure Vinny's going to preach tonight and he's going to come and we're going to have an altar service down here that's going to blow our socks off. It's going to be amazing. And we need that in our life. We also need to leave this place this morning with a vision. We need to be able to see Jesus out there. Sometimes it's really easy to see Jesus here. And we come down, I've seen it with teenage work. We come down and we're excited. Everything's really excited. They're jumping and screaming and crying and loving Jesus. And the next week they come back with just as much baggage as they had before. And then they get excited again. And the next week it's the same thing. Why? It's because out there is where we need to learn to fix our eyes on the Lord. We need to fix our eyes out there. So what I want us to do is I want us to pray for each other. I want us to pray for the people in our row. I want us to just put our hands on their shoulders. So go ahead right now, put your hands on their shoulders. And if you're in a row by yourself, sit with other people and be nice. If you're in a row by yourself, find somebody else and just put your hand on their shoulders. And I want you to just pray for them, that the Lord will help them fix their eyes on them. All right, just pray for them today. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you so much for Russell. I thank you that you've got a hold of his heart and his life. We thank you, Jesus, that you're speaking to him even now and showing him, Jesus, that there is nowhere we can go that is too far for the Lord. And I pray, God, that you'll bless him. This is going to be a good day for Russell. His life is going to be different from this point forward. And Lord, and as we all strive and live with our eyes fixed on the Lord, I pray that Russell will not only have his eyes fixed on you, but you will have your eyes fixed on him as he keeps moving forward. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to pray together. Okay. All right, we're going to pray together. And we're just going to, in front of the whole church body, prayer again right here, and from this point forward we're going to be there for you.
Amen.
And we're going to be there for you, and God's going to be there for you. And the switch is going to be flipped, but it's not going to, it's going to take some time. We're going to get you. That's your redeemed. So church, we're going to pray with Russell. Russell's given his life to the Lord. We're going to do a confessing here in public. And I want you to pray with us. We do this family style. So I'm going to pray. You just repeat after me, and they're going to repeat after us as well, okay? Say, Dear Jesus, thank you so much for being here for me today. I needed you, and you were here. I'm sorry for my sin, for what I've done, but I recognize that you are what I needed. Help me keep my eyes on you every day of my life. I believe you died for me and you rose from the dead. And I pray that you'll help me live for you every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you reach out towards him? Russell needs a physical touch on his body. Lord, I just thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come before you today under the authority of heaven, and we just speak to this body. We speak, Lord, to the sicknesses and the diseases that are in his body. We believe, Lord, they don't belong there. We believe, Lord, that this body has been set apart now for the kingdom of God, and there's no room for sickness and disease anymore. So we curse it in the name of Jesus. We cancel the assignment of the devil and of the enemy and of this infirmity. And we believe for complete and utter healing. This will be a testimony to Russell that God is good, that God is faithful. And Lord, the Bible says that these signs will follow them that believe, that they will heal the sick. And we believe that this is taking place right now in Jesus' mighty name. Bless him, God. Bless every part of his body that hurts, every part of his body that is broken. We believe in absolute healing in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're proud of you, Russell, buddy. We got some people behind you. We're going to give you a Bible. Get some information here, okay? Praise God.